Hi, everyone. This is John Frank, Editorial Director of PL Buyer, welcoming you to this latest PL Buyer podcast. This podcast is one in a series we're doing with Patrick Rodmel, President and CEO of Watt International, a Toronto-based integrated retail agency with more than 40 years of experience in more than 40 countries. Patrick also is a guest columnist with PL Buyer and is co-chairing our new Best of Design Excellence Awards this year, recognizing the best in private label package design. Today we're going to be discussing Patrick's 10 Keys to Private Brand Success, the topic of the columns he's been writing for PL Buyer this year. Specifically, we'll be looking at key number 8, associate engagement. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be with you, John.
Great to have you. Let's begin by setting the scene for our discussion. Give us the thinking that led to your 10 keys. What can our readers and listeners here learn from them?
Well, John, it's funny that, although it's only 10 keys, it's really 30 years in the making, putting these together. Our business in looking at private labels really started with Loblaws about 30 years ago with President's Choice and No Name and working on brands like that. And since that point, worked with over 100 retailers. So we've kind of seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to putting together both strategies and the executions of private label programs. We've also, frankly, seen the many different kinds of approaches businesses take, either the sort of shooting from the hip when it comes to decision-making to some businesses get caught up in, which is can be, I guess, referred to as analysis paralysis. So Learning all of this through 30 years, we thought we'd sort of consolidate all of that into what we see are the 10 areas that people really need to focus on if they want to have ultimate private label success.
Okay, that's great. And I'm sure our listeners are learning from these podcasts and from reading your columns on these topics. We're focusing today on key number 8, associate engagement. And this really deals with going that last mile, doesn't it, in terms of private label? In other words, it deals with reaching employees in stores to get them engaged.
Absolutely, John. You know, we have an expression around our business here that, great staff can overcome a bad store, but a great store can't overcome bad staff. You know, you think back to yourself and your own personal experiences of going to shopping, to stores, and really quite often the stories we tell are about the engagement we had with the people in the store. Not so much, boy, that place had nice lighting, and gee, the flooring was nice. It's more about, you know, what was the engagement like with the people in the store?
So in stores, sell the product, really.
Absolutely. We call them brand ambassadors. You know, the people with the feet on the street, stocking the shelves, behind the counters, really should be considered brand ambassadors. And this holds especially true for private label, where they're often the only voice telling the story of the brand. We talk about in subsequent keys, certainly about marketing like a national brand. In many cases, there isn't a lot of marketing to help tell the brand story. So it really comes down to the associate in the store.
And let's follow up on that term brand ambassador. I mean, you see that a lot today in marketing literature. What does it really mean in terms of private label foods and grocery items?
Well, you know, John, it's building brand is often, the conversations predominantly, in fact, can revolve around building the brand impression with consumers and shoppers. So in other words, when we talk about what our brand is, as a retailer, you're talking about really what is the expectations or the impressions of my target audience being the people that buy the products. But there really isn't a lot of conversation about building the brand internally. If you think about, you know, the analogy that we like to use around here, it's almost like the playbook for a sports team. You know, the brand guidelines for, you know, a football team, a basketball team, set the tone for whether the team is going to be offensively minded or defensively. It sets the character. Is it going to be, ground and pound or more of a finesse approach? So that's really kind of the same context of a brand, an internal brand impression. It applies equally to businesses as it does to sports teams.
So how do you start this process of internal brand building? Where does it begin?
Well, again, maybe perhaps starting with the analogy again, it's writing the playbook. What is the playbook? It's the clear definition of what the brand is, what that brand is meant to be in consideration for in the consumer, and then a commitment from the organization to say, we need our people to buy in and believe in this. Most important, though, John, is it can't be complicated or people just won't get it. Mm. You know, you have to really boil this down into very simple language so that it's easy to translate to people and it's easy for them to absorb. So not being complicated is part of the process. From the beginning, we need to say, let's make sure this is clear and not complicated for our people to understand.
I would think that would help in terms of training new staff, too. Obviously, retailing is an industry that sees a lot of staff turnover. How do you keep new staff in the loop, so to speak, and does it come back to having a simple, easy-to-explain plan?
It starts with the plan, but, John, I question any retailer that's listening to this podcast today to take a look at their training book, their employee training book, and see if there's a chapter in there on being a brand ambassador for private label and what is going, you know, how do we talk about the brands? Are private brands even mentioned in the training manuals and process of retailers? You know, that's a great place to start, and it also helps be the anchor that keeps the idea going forward with new staff coming in. It should be part of the training process, building your staff as a brand ambassador.
Okay. And who are the models for this? I mean, who's doing it well, either in food retailing, other businesses? Where can our listeners look for the models on how to do this?
Well, you know, John, as I mentioned in the article, I mean, the greatest example, and it's actually one that happened quite some time ago, was when we helped Safeway launch their Select brand. And I really can't say that since that time, this is back in the, I guess, the mid-90s, in fact, there hasn't been a retailer that I've seen put the dedication to passionately ensuring that their staff, their district managers, their store associates, all bought into and a belief in the new Safeway Select brand. And I tell you, looking at the numbers, that there was a true payoff in building that kind of momentum within the organization. So I couldn't speak today to how they approach their brands in terms of that commitment, but absolutely, if you want to look at the textbook of people that built into and believed in that whole sort of brand ambassador and getting that associate engagement, Safeway was a great example of a retailer that did a really good job of that.
And getting the associate engagement, does that include financial incentives for them? Is that a must-have, or?
John, I think so. You know, again, you know, mystery shops are a great tool, but I'm not sure that many retailers use them as for benchmarking of private label support. So, for example, you know, having mystery shoppers go into stores and ask questions of the associates about the private label brands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, having some kind of scorecard that says, yes, the people are responding appropriately to the questions, and in fact, they are not just, providing the information, but they're encouraging trial of private label. And building a positive brand image for the private label should be scorecard. And frankly, store is part of the compensation model, if not for the associate, then maybe even for the either the department or store managers. So there are ways to put that kind of framework around, building that associate engagement so that it does become part of the DNA of a business.
Mm-hmm. I'm always impressed when I go to a Trader Joe's that the checkout people are either telling me recipes for something I'm buying or asking me how I use it. And that's not coincidence, is it? I mean, that's got to be part of their model to train those people to engage customers.
You know, John, it goes full circle back to where we started here, which is that, you know, people create the strongest brand impression of anything about a business. You know, just think of the next time you're in an airport and the engagement you have with at the check-in counter with the people behind the staff. Mm-hmm. They really produce the impression of the business. The flight attendants in the airplane, they create the tone and character and expression of how you feel about the airline you're flying on. Retail is no different. People make the difference and powerful impressions of the company. So having your private label people as ambassadors of your private brand is a very strong and powerful tool, and frankly, that's why it becomes one of our 10 keys.
Mm-hmm. So would you advocate role-playing with staff and scripting and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. You know, it's not that difficult to know, too. You know, if someone's walking through a supermarket or a drugstore, what are the questions they tend to ask people within the store? Where can I find something? That's the most common question someone asks. So as opposed to simply pointing to, oh, it's over in aisle 8, you know, to go with the person, and if they said something to the effect of, where is the Coca-Cola, for example, just picking on one brand specifically, well, if the store associate walks the person over and says, have you tried our private label cola, and become that ambassador. So the situations where you have that kind of engagement aren't too deep. So scripting and role-playing, it's not a complicated exercise. There are three or four questions that consumers and shoppers typically ask store associates to respond to. So a great suggestion on a way to actually build that associate engagement.
I would think that would be even more useful when you roll out new store brand products, new private label products, to really prime everyone to be talking those up.
Absolutely, you know, but just like everything, it's not a sprint, it's a journey, or it's a marathon, John. So, you know, you want the impact when you launch a brand, so that's where you've got the, you know, the 70% of your effort is getting out of the gate. But going back to your comments about staff turnover and associate turnover, it needs to have that continual commitment. It's not just an initiative, it's a way of being.
And can retailers do this themselves? I would think many would think, well, I don't have the money to do this kind of training. Or are there internal resources they can use to do this kind of training?
I think so. You know, it's not using the existing HR development within a business. Mm-hmm. It's essentially a collaborative approach between marketers, the merchants, and, if you will, the HR department to say, how can we inject this thinking into the training and education of the people that work for the business. So doesn't take a whole lot of external support. I think it's something that can be fairly succinctly crafted internally within an organization.
So form a sort of a cross-functional group to work on this together?
Absolutely, you know. Mm-hmm.
And then who monitors it sort of on an ongoing basis to make sure that that it's working and that, as we said earlier, new people are being trained and that sort of thing?
Well, I think, John, that's the scorecard approach, and really, if it comes down to the compensation, I would say it's probably built within the HR function, the training and HR function of the business, but monitored by the people who are responsible for the brand health of the business, and that tends to flow in through more of the marketing side of the organization. You know, tracked by HR, monitored by the marketing groups is probably, you know, would be the way that we'd suggest it be approached.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And this, of course, can be applied beyond traditional supermarkets, traditional food retailers to drugstores and everyone else out there these days selling private label, mass merchandise.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, if all you need to do is look at, you know, even fashion businesses, you know, is Gap a retailer or is it a private label, you know? Or Nike or Apple, those people, you know, they may have started as what you would call national brands, but now with retail locations, they really are almost private labels for that business. It extends to any kind of organization where they have products that are exclusively provided by that business, either by having the name on them, the name of the retailer on them, or being a brand that's created internally by that organization. None of this is specific to supermarket or even to mass and drug. It really, the principles apply to all facets and types of retail.
Well, it's great advice, and hopefully our listeners are learning from this and trying this or doing it already, and if not, maybe they'll start after they hear this podcast. Let's hope so. We're at the end of our podcast now, so thanks, Patrick, for joining us today. That's all the time we have. Thank you again for joining us. Thanks to our listeners, and I invite all our listeners to listen to all our PL Buyer podcast with Patrick and other industry leaders by visiting our website, privatelabelbuyer.com, where you can listen to and download these all, and to also go there during the PLMA show in November when we'll be doing a series of podcasts and video broadcasts from the show itself. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Patrick, and goodbye.